Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Thursday. It's April 20th. It is 2023. We have a five-game, pretty small slate to talk about here for baseball. I'm joined today by Christy Metzger. You all know her as Creighton 12. Christy, what's happening?
Hey, not too much, Stevie. Actually, it's been a pretty good day. Had a really good baseball slate. I ended up tying in the FanDuel queue today. I had the same lineup as someone else, so I got to do a little playoff tomorrow. So stacked a lot of the Cardinals, which a lot of people did. But yeah, good slate. Hopefully we can keep the good momentum going on and get some good plays for tomorrow.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. Like, if you could pick any other slate, like, congrats. I'm glad that you're getting to play a playoff. But could you pick any other slate? Like, give us Friday's slate.
Oh, exactly.
Let us play our tiebreaker on Friday. I mean, we'll get through this slate. Not a lot of pitching, a lot of bats. I mean, I had a good slate too. I had a really good team going that had Scherzer, so I was very tilted. I'm past the tilt now. I don't know. Rodgers was my highest owned pitcher. So that him getting hurt kind of stunk. And then, like I said, I had a lot of Scherzer as well. So he was on, I had a team at 190 something with Scherzer. So it would have done really well. I think you never know. He could have went out and got blown up the next inning. So you just got to let it go and move on. I have something in my eye and it's driving me crazy. But outside of that, everything's great. We got, like I said, nice little five game slate to talk about. And we'll jump right into it. I mean, we're going to start with the game that I feel like a lot of people are going to want us to talk about anyway. So we got Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. We got Weaver against Contreras. This game is currently sitting at a 9 total, and the Pirates are a 154 favorite, which I find very interesting. Luke Weaver coming off of the IL here. I mean, this is a guy that has shown promise, I think is the best way to put it here in the past. I mean, talented pitcher from my hometown, actually.
Is
so,
he really?
Yeah, he is. So, I mean, I was able to find a little bit of, you know, pitch count stuff from the minors. It's kind of tough to find every once in a while, but he threw 140 pitches in his two rehab starts. He threw 9 innings, had 9 strikeouts, allowed 1 home run. But all the advanced numbers look pretty good in those two outings. So the fact that he got, I don't even know what the breakdown was. I would assume it's probably like 60, 80 pitch count wise. I'm assuming that if he's pitching well, he'll go 80 to 85 pitches here. What are your thoughts here on Luke Weaver at 5,900?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, like you said, he has shown a lot of promise in the past. Like you said, 5,900. I probably have more interest in the Pittsburgh bats, actually. But, you know, if you're looking for value, pitching is so tough today that I certainly could see that you could make a case for him. But for me, I probably have more interest in the Pittsburgh side.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be in play for me. I don't know. Like, okay, this pitching slate is atrocious. I mean, let's just say that. Just start there. And I think Contreras on the other side of this game is going to be pretty popular. So, I mean, first game back out of Coors for Pittsburgh, they get they go from like one of the best hitting environments to one of the worst hitting environments in baseball. It's a huge ballpark upgrade for Weaver. I mean, if he gets 80 to 85 pitches, gives up a couple runs and strikes out 4 to 6 guys, it might be enough today. So, yeah. I mean, I'm tempering my expectations. I always do that when I have guys coming off the IL, a guy that, you know, struggled with some power last season as well. But overall, I mean, he has talent. So I don't mind potentially taking some shots here on Weaver at 5,900. So, and I do, like I said, everything that I've read is, I mean, 80 to 85 pitches seems super doable if he's pitching well. And I mean, that's at the end of the day, what's the most important thing is his pitch count.
Absolutely.
All right. Contreras on the other side. I mean, Contreras is not good either. The Reds are just not good. I mean, I think Contreras is going to be pretty chalky at 6,400 today on DraftKings. Yeah. FanDuel, I think a lot of people are going to pay up for Senga. But I do think like Contreras is still valuable on FanDuel as well. I mean, you're really just kind of worried about 2 or 3 guys, and this ballpark's a huge downgrade for these bats. So what are your thoughts here on Contreras?
Yeah, I do have interest in him on DraftKings. Like you said, he's just 6,400. There are a couple of bats on the Cincinnati side that you do have to worry about. But overall, you know, I'm willing to take a shot on him. And yeah, and I don't even mind him on FanDuel either. Like you said, I think you're right. Most people are going to look at Senga over there, but I think he's fine. But on DraftKings, I certainly do have interest, and we'll definitely include him in the mix.
Yeah, I mean, both of these pitchers are in play. I mean, this is there's nothing great about either bat like side of the bats, but I mean, to kind of give everybody an idea, like every game has an 8.5 or better total on the slate. So like pitching is not going to be great. We are going to have 1 or 2 guys that probably go out and throw solid games. And, you know, you're going to hope that you have those guys. And I mean, I could see it being either one of these guys. But let's talk about the Cincinnati bats. Anything standing out to you here against Contreras?
You know, if I'm going to play anyone, you know, and maybe just going to, I'm certainly not going to stack. But, you know, if you're just looking at some different one-off plays, you know, certainly India, he is priced up there. You know, you could take a shot at someone like him. You know, if you're looking more, you know, just for some value and stuff too, you could, you know, you could put Friedel in there, Myers. But for me, I'm really mostly going to probably just stay away. I mean, in Cincinnati does strike out quite a bit too. So I think that's, you know, Contreras certainly has that going for him. So I'll probably stay away. I mean, if you do want to take a chance, I'd probably rather stack against him and hope he's not pitching well. So yeah, not a lot for me.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing that he does struggle with is like power lefties. And I mean, Friedel, I don't even know if I'd consider him like a power lefty, but he is a guy that tends to hit the ball on the ground more. And Contreras has a 42.5% fly ball rate. So he benefits a little bit from this matchup. Contreras' strikeout rate goes down. against left-handed hitters as well. So Friddle, Fraley, Vossler, I think would be the three that I'd be looking at here. But again, like, one of the reasons that everyone's going to have Contreras or have interest in Contreras is the bats are just not great. So that's why it's so tough to say, hey, let's stack Cincinnati. I could definitely see a mini stack with the three lefties. But I don't even love that. Like, Vossler, he has decent ISO numbers this season, but he's striking out at an insanely high clip. So it's a tough situation. And the ballpark's not great.
Yeah, exactly.
Pittsburgh bats. I mean, if Weaver's not right, I mean, this is a spot we could definitely see. Pittsburgh is a team that is very hit or miss, you know, especially with Cruz out. They can platoon some of these left-handed bats in. They all strike out at a pretty high clip, though. So one of the reasons that I have interest in Weaver is because of the strikeouts. But if Weaver's not right, I think looking at like a three-man or a four-man, like if you want to do like a 4-4 or a 3-5 or something, I could see using Pittsburgh as like a secondary stack in either one of those scenarios.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think, like you said, if he's not right, I mean, they certainly have some potential. You know, Brian Reynolds is priced up there, but I like him. You've got McCutcheon, you've got Hayes, and then, you know, you've got some cheap value pieces in there too. Castro, Sawinski, if he's in the lineup too. So, yeah, I certainly don't mind that at all, and think there's some potential to put up some runs for sure.
Yeah, I mean, my favorite bat would be Reynolds and Swazinski. Like, those would be the two guys that I'd focus on the most. But, I mean, I'd be trying to find a third piece, like I said, or a fourth piece if you want to do a secondary stack. So, all right. What's up, YouTube? Hope everyone's having a fantastic Wednesday night. See you guys talking over there, hanging out. Thank you. I didn't know. Josh said that Tatis is minimum salary on DraftKings.
He is 2K, and he's 4,500 on FanDuel. So they priced him up, and DraftKings has him at the bottom.
Yeah, so wonderful.
I know.
All right. So we'll talk about that when we get there. But obviously, the talent and that price. Thanks for pointing that out, Josh. Sounds like Christy already knew it, but I did not. So I did not see that. I knew he was playing today. I just didn't know that he was minimum salary on DraftKings. So, all right, we got Colorado at Philadelphia. This game has a 9 total. The Phillies are a -200 favorite here. Felter against Strom. Any interest in Ryan Feltner?
I do not. I definitely have interest in stacking against him, but no interest in Feltner for me.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at as well. No real interest in this spot. For me, yeah. Bat Strom on the other side. I mean, the highest pitch count we've seen him is at 67. So, I mean, I think that's the biggest concern that everyone's going to have here is just pitch count. They've been very careful with him to start the season. And I mean, going into the third inning the other night, he cut his thumb or something. I think they wanted him to go more in that game. So do you have any interest here in Matt Strom?
I know. I was kind of looking the same thing. That part is worrisome. His pitch count is a little bit worrisome too. So he's 7K. So, you know, I mean, I guess you could throw him in there and, you know, just hope that he gets a few strikeouts and gets you enough points to get by. I don't think it's the worst play in the world. You know, he's put up a couple of good outings, you know, against Miami and even the Yankees, 24 DK points and 13.8 DK points. So, yeah, I don't think it's the worst play in the world, especially against Colorado away from Coors Field. Probably not my first choice for cheaper pitchers, but I think there'll be a lot of these guys that we don't feel comfortable with, but they're certainly in play depending on how your lineup kind of shakes out.
I mean, honestly, you're just fading like two or three bats here for Colorado. They're not the greatest team in the world against left-handed pitching. So I think if you wanted to take some shots on him, just hoping that maybe he gets 5 innings, like he threw 5 innings against Miami the start before last. And I think they wanted him to go, like I said, I think they wanted him to go a little bit deeper. He lost a little bit of control after he hurt his finger in that game. So I can kind of overlook that last game. Like I said, Colorado bottom 5 offense against left-handed pitching this season, 75 WRC plus, 25% Ks, only 4 home runs this season. So, I mean, you're just really kind of hoping you get around CJ Cron and Chris Bryant. So I think Strom's okay. I feel like I'm going to say that a lot today. No. But that's just where I'm at with these pitchers.
Exactly.
Any interest in the Rockies bats here?
I don't. I could certainly see, you mentioned CJ Crone, Chris Bryant. I mean, just as a one-off. I mean, I always like CJ Crone going against left-handed pitching, so certainly don't mind that. Other than that, I'm not looking to stack them up. I think there's other ways to look at a lot of different, even if it's five-game slate, I think there's a lot of other bats to go to. So CJ Crone or Chris Bryant as a one-off.
Other side of this game, I mean, the Philly bats. Felter, he's had a decent strikeout rate this season. He's sitting around 23%, but he's still sitting at like a 17% walk rate as well. Really showing some reverse splits to start this season. So I think a guy like Trey Turner is super interesting in this spot. He can get it done so many different ways. I think the Philly stack is playable here. This is one of the better ballparks that we have for hitting today. What are your thoughts on Philadelphia?
Yeah, I actually wrote them down as one of my favorite stacks too. You know, they've been playing well. Kyle Schwarber, and he's expensive on DK, but he's still just 3.1K over on FanDuel. He's got to be one of the best value plays over there, just way too cheap. So Schwarber, Turner, Bryson Stott has been playing well. I think if I looked at that right, he's had a hit in every game but one. I mean, he's just been, getting some points there, and he's still very – very cheap. Brandon Marsh has been playing well. You could throw Castellanos, throw Muto in there too. And I don't even mind Jake Cave if you need someone for value, if you really need it. But yeah, I definitely have interest in the Phillies as a stack.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right. Like I said, I definitely have some interest in Philadelphia. I can't wait for Bryce Harper to come back. He makes the stack just so much better. And Bryson Stott is someone I've been talking about like every single day. So I'm not getting off the hype train. He looks really good. Yes. Watched a lot of the Philly game on Wednesday. I almost called it morning, but I guess it's afternoon. All right, Dodgers and Cubs, Grove against Taillon in this one. This game has a 10 total, and the Cubs are a slight favorite at minus 110. There is some potential weather here that we're going to have to watch. If this game plays, we're projected for 22 to 28 mile-an-hour winds blowing dead out to center field. And we know that like how sensitive a ballpark Wrigley is when it comes to wind. So if Kevin Roth gives this game the okay as far as weather, wetness-wise, this is going to be a game that we're going to be loading up on. With that said, do you have any interest in Michael Grove?
I know. I really don't, because if it is, like you said, if this game plays and the wind and everything is like we think it's going to be, it's just going to be a great game to target bats. And there's a lot of great plays up and down the lineup on both sides. So yeah, I really don't have a ton of interest really in either side just because of the weather.
I mean, Grove pitched really well against this team in LA the last time out. I'm just honestly, even on a small slate, I'm not taking any pitcher in Wrigley with 22 to 28 mile an hour winds. Like, we're going to look at Weather Edge tomorrow and it's going to tell us like plus 30% runs, plus 30% home runs. Like, and that might be on the low end if it's going to be that much wind. So And if it's going to be wet, like drizzling and rainy, like I don't want to take pictures in that kind of situation. Exactly. Especially now that you can't put sticky stuff under your hat to help you grip the ball. And, been there a couple times, done that a couple times. Jameis and Tyon on the other side of this game, obviously name wise, one of the bigger names that we have on the slate facing a tough Dodgers lineup. Again, it goes back to that conversation of like the wind, I think, is going to matter too much for me to play Tyon.
Yep, completely agree. And I was kind of looking at two Dodgers are second in home runs as a team this year. So yeah, they just have a lot of potential to hit some out with Freeman and Muncy and Outman and JD Martinez. I don't know, Betts, is he still out on paternity leave? I think he is. But yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of good guys in that lineup that are going to look really good in Wrigley tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, again, like if the wind wasn't such a huge factor here, I would take some shots on Tyon's talent.
I would too.
Yeah, but I just can't do it. Bats-wise, on the Dodgers side, I mean, this is a stack. If the wind is going to be this crazy and the weather is going to be okay, like, I'm fully stacking the Dodgers and the Cubs. Like, 20 to 25 mile-an-hour winds, like I said, I think it's like 22 to 28 mile-an-hour winds. Like, that's just too high not to have interest here.
Yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, you look at guys like Freeman and Muncy, I mean, they've both hit a couple of home runs here. They've had multi-home run games here within the last couple of weeks. Outman has just been playing really, really great. And he's improved in the batting order quite a bit too. Martinez, like I said, and then on the Cubs side too, like, I mean, Bellinger has to be one of the, you know, top value plays. He's just 3.3K on DraftKings. Absolutely love that play. Ian Happ, Patrick Wisdom, Suzuki, Nico Horner, I mean, all those guys. So yeah, ton of interest in stacking up this game for sure.
Yeah. And then, I mean, you mentioned the Cubs. I think this is a great spot for the Cubs. Not only do they give you some power upside, I mean, they give you some stolen base upside as well. So I like both sides of this game. This is like one of those games that if Roth gives it, like, I don't, honestly, like, part of me is like, just X this game out and like postpone it.
I know. I know.
And then the other half of me is like, people will overthink this game and I can make four stacks of this game and be okay, you know? So, yeah. I mean, you know, you let other people make some mistakes sometimes. And exactly. If the wind is going to be that crazy, you let them make mistakes here.
Yeah. And you brought up the Cubs too. Yeah. They're third in stolen bases. They have 22 this year. So that's a really good point. Yeah. Just a lot of ways to get points here.
All right. Moving on. San Diego at Arizona. 9.5 total in this game. Padres a slight 125 favorite. Nelson and Waka facing off against each other. Any interest here in Michael Waka?
I can see certainly throwing him, you know, in the pool. I mean, I think he's okay. I mean, he has had a good outing. I mean, he played really well against Atlanta, had a tough first outing against Colorado, and his last outing against Milwaukee wasn't good. But again, the pitching is just really, really tough to come by on this slate. So, you know, I think you're just going to have to get, there's just going to be some uncomfortable plays for sure. So I could see playing him. Is he my favorite? No. But I certainly think he's an option.
I mean, my biggest concern with him in this game is Arizona is going to have the roof open in this game, and he has been struggling with fly balls. So, I mean, I definitely worry about like home runs here. I mean, Milwaukee hit a couple against him, and he pitched really good against Atlanta. He pitched really good. Like, there was like his advanced stats backed it up. Like, he pitched really good in that game. So, he was actually, if anything, a little unlucky against Milwaukee. But I mean, when you're getting hit like that and you have a 500 BABIP, like, you probably just got hit really hard. So luck or unluck. Talent wise, I can see taking a couple shots on him here. I mean, it goes back to that first game, right? Like, the hitting conditions in this game are so much better than that Pittsburgh game. So, like, that's why Contreras and Weaver are going to get some ownership today.
Yep.
Because you can go all the way down in this spot. So, the other side of this game, we got Ryan Nelson. Any interest in him in this spot?
again, I think, yeah, I think he's okay. I do have interest. I do like the San Diego side, you know, stacking them up on the other side too. So I have a lot of interest in the bats. And I think, you know, like we mentioned earlier, Tatis being just at minimum price is going to be really popular. But I have interest in Soto and Machado and Cronenworth and some of those guys. So probably more interested in the San Diego stack. But I also think, I think Nelson's an okay play too as a pitcher. He's done okay. And if he can get you enough points, I know in the last outing, he had 16 and a half fantasy points. He's pitched six innings the last two outings. Been pitching right around 90, 96 pitches. So yeah, I think you can make a case for both sides for sure.
Yeah. I mean, so the advanced numbers show a little regression even to what he's doing this season so far. I mean, 7,800, I think, is a fair price tag. He could potentially be like the ultimate leverage play, because I think Tatis is going to be 70% owned. And like, I mean, you could definitely take some shots on Nelson, but the advanced numbers are telling me I shouldn't take shots on him. They're pointing out, like, the advanced numbers are suggesting like we're going to see some negative regression on like his ground ball rate and see more fly balls and potentially more home runs. I mean, this is a guy that in Double A was struggling with like home runs, and you're facing a team like the Padres getting a ballpark upgrade, roof open in Arizona, one of the best hitting conditions that we're going to have on the entire slate. I mean, it's going to be 83 degrees in Arizona with the roof open here. So, I mean, outside of Wrigley, this is definitely great hitting conditions today. I mean, good hitting conditions in Pittsburgh, but the ballpark's not as good.
Exactly.
Padres, I mean, Tatis is minimum salary. We don't have to spend a lot of time there. He was crushing the ball in his rehab starts? I wouldn't even call them rehab starts. Like, whatever they were, suspension starts in the minors, he was crushing the ball. He should just come into this lineup. He should hit. I would assume he hits towards the top of the order.
Is he going lead off? Are they going to have him bat lead off? Did I see that? Or
I didn't see if they had mentioned it yet, but they did. He anticipates having Bob Melvin said he anticipates having him hit in the leadoff spot. So there you go. 2K for on the road, 2K against a pitcher. Yeah. It has some regression coming. Tatis is going to be very popular. The only good thing here is Tatis is shortstop eligible, so is Bogarts.
Exactly.
So,
if you're
wanting to stack San Diego and just make your lineup very different, you could easily just play Bogarts over Tatis. Tatis is probably the better play. Tough. He's definitely the better play if you consider like he's $3,000 cheaper, but just one potential way to make your San Diego stacks different.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What are your thoughts when it comes to the Padres?
Yeah, I do. I like them. I do have a lot of interest. And like you said, with Tatis being minimum price makes it work. I like him. I really like Juan Soto a lot, Machado. And then I really like Jake Cronenworth, and he's really cheap. He's a good value piece too. We just saw him hit two home runs here just a few days ago. So those are the four that I'm probably looking to build around. Like you said, you can't play Bogarts and Tatis. But yeah, those are the four that I probably have the most interest in my San Diego stacks.
Arizona against Walker. Like I said, Walker is a guy that, you know, can struggle with home runs from time to time. Arizona is a team that they can hit home runs, but they also get on and they steal some bases. So I don't mind Arizona as like a secondary. I think the more I think about this slate, the more I'm going to build like 4-4 type of builds anyway. Mm-hmm. So I think like this could be like a secondary, but really like a 4-4 type of stack lineup.
I like that. And I do too. I think Arizona is a great secondary stack. I mean, you know, like you said, they have stolen base upside. They have 18 stolen bases on the year. Marte, Corbin Carroll has been playing really, really well. Rojas, Walker, and Pavin Smith, if he's in the lineup. I know he had a grand slam the other night. So, yeah, there's some cheap pieces in there that really make that stack work, too. So I think they're a really good secondary stack.
All right, we finish it out with the Mets and the Giants. Senga against Sean Manaea. 8.5 total, lowest total that we have on the slate. Mets 126 favorites. All right, let's talk about Cody Senga. I mean, very, very popular last start against Oakland and kind of busted in that spot. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts about him in this spot against San Francisco?
You know, he's so expensive, you know, 11K plus on FanDuel, 10.3 on DraftKings. So he's definitely expensive. You know, there's definitely enough value to make it work. And because the pitching slate is so tough, I think he is going to be popular just because there's just not a lot to go with, not a lot to work with. And I think he's fine against San Francisco. You know, Giants strike out a lot too. So I think there's definitely some opportunity there. So yeah, I definitely have interest in him just because of the way the slate is. Normally, I mean, I'd probably look at him being way overpriced, but I think because of the nature of the slate, definitely have interest.
Yeah, someone that like his home run to fly ball ratio might actually come down a little bit from everything that we've read about him. I mean, a really interesting play here. The strikeout stuff is, you know, kind of what we're looking for in general. I mean, when you have a small slate like this, a guy that can have a 30% K rate, everything I've read kind of projects him to finish around like a 23 to 26% K rate guy. He's not like expected to be like this elite arm, but he is a top 50 prospect in baseball. Mm-hmm. Prospect or rookie, like what do you want to call him? It's really tough to say like a 30-year-old guy is a prospect, in my opinion. So I mean, he has a really above average splitter. He's gonna generate strikes and swing and misses with the splitter. He also throws like a fastball cutter like mix. And he has a good fastball. He's gonna strike guys out. Like, there's no doubt about it. He's gonna strike some guys out, and on a slate with limiting pitching. Yeah, I mean, I'm going back to the well on him for sure. Mm-hmm. Sean Manaea, 9,900 for Sean Manaea. I will say, like, I do like left-handed pitching against the Mets. They are much better against right-handed pitching. But what the heck is this price tag? I mean,
I know.
Like, listen, this is a team that's very beatable by left-handed pitching. They only have two or three guys with big power numbers against lefties, and we could see Sean Manaea go out and have a really solid game. It's going to be somewhat tough to play him and Senga together at these price points. But, I mean, I definitely don't hate the idea of playing them against each other. You know, Sean Manaea is a 23.5% K rate guy, really struggles with right-handed power, and they're going to leave some lefties in there for him. So I don't hate it. I don't love it.
That's exactly how I feel too. And I know I was anxious to talk to you about it too, because I'm kind of having the same struggle. Like you said, there are a lot of left-handed bats in that lineup. I mean, you've got Lindor, Nimmo, McNeil. And so, yeah, I think you could play both, and there's certainly enough value to do that. I could see him doing fine. I mean, he also does struggle at times. But again, because of the slate that we're dealt with, I think he's definitely in play.
Yeah. Let's talk bats here. I mean, this is where it kind of gets tough. Like, when Manaea does struggle is with right-handed power. Marte is banged up right now for the Mets. Yeah. We'll see if he's back or not. It was like neck stiffness, and I mean, that happened yesterday or Wednesday, whenever you listen to this podcast. Like, Alonso is a top-end option. I mean, the ballpark's not great, but, like, the polar bear can hit it out of anywhere. Mm-hmm. But after that, I mean, it kind of gets murky. I mean, you got Pham, who's kind of cheap, that you could potentially take some shots on here. But, I mean, I'm not going out of my way to attack Manaea. If I'm doing it, it's with right-handed power.
Yeah, exactly. You know, for me, it would probably be a one-off with Pete Alonso, honestly, just because, you know, he's just great no matter what, and he gets the left-handed Manaea. But yeah, not a ton of interest really on the Mets. I just think there's a lot of other good stacks that we talked about previously. So more a one-off for me too.
Giants bats. I mean, they're the ultimate hedge stack today. Yeah. I mean, like if you just wanted to just blindly stack them with some lefties here and hope that like Senga just struggles. I mean, game theory wise and like thinking about like ownership and stuff, like they're the ultimate like contrarian stack today.
Yeah, they really are on a small game slate. Absolutely. Yeah, because no one's going to play them, that's for sure. So very, very contrarian upside play in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only way that I think I'd play them. And I'm like going to try to play some one-offs here. Like Jock Peterson, one of their power lefties, dealing with a wrist on the IL. So like you're not even getting like one of the better power hitters in this lineup. So Conforto's banged up. Like it goes back to why we like Senga so much right now. Than anything else. But I think if you just approach it from like a game theory perspective and say, hey, you know, this might be one of those spots that they're very low owns. And if it works out, it's huge. Like it's just, you're gaining so much on the field if it works out.
Absolutely. Yep. I couldn't agree more.
All right. Let's play the morning grind game and then we will get out of here. DraftKings under 8,000 to get six or more strikeouts. Who do you got?
I'm going to go with Contreras.
I'm going to go with Weaver. I mean, I think those are the two guys. I really hope we get some kind of news on like Strom's pitch count. I think those are the three guys that I'm going to play with some like Manaea and Senga, and I don't feel good about it.
I know.
Over 8K to score under 15. Who's your bust today?
My bust today, I am going to go with, if the game plays, I'm going to go with Taillon.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if it doesn't play, he's going to score under 15. So win-win.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Waka.
Yeah, it's between those two for me. Yeah, it's a good one.
Over 4K to hit a home run. Who do you got going yard today?
Over 4K, I am going to say, I'm going to go Ian Happ.
All right, I'm going to stay in that same game. I'm going to go Max Muncy. Definitely his bump in power is nice to see this season. Under 4K to get two hits, it cannot be Tatis.
Yeah, no, it can't be Tatis. I mean, I'm going Cody Bellinger. I mean, I just, like, he is way too cheap, and I just think that's just a great play, and he's going against his old team in a great game, so.
Like it. I'm going to go Bryson Stott. This guy just keeps hitting. I mean, multiple hits now in three of his last four. I think I read something that he has double-digit multi-hit games already this season. Like, he just keeps hitting. So, again, this is one of the better ballparks that we're going to have for bats today. Definitely have some interest in Stout.
Absolutely.
Stack to score six or more runs.
I am going to say, I mean, of course we like the Dodgers game there too, but I'm actually going to go Philly. I like that stack and I think they put up some runs.
All right. You took mine. I like that. I was going to say the same thing. So, I guess I'll go off the board a little bit. I'll say Arizona against Waka because I don't want to take any of the Cubs. I mean, if game plays, it's going to score six or more. So, All right, that's it. Fast, easy, five games in the books. Yeah. Christy, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
No, very interesting slate, like you said. Great breaking it down with you, and good to see you as always. Thanks, Stevie.
Thanks for joining. That's going to wrap it up here for Thursday. If you haven't already, make sure you head on over to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind YouTube page. Hit that subscribe button. We're at 445. I appreciate every one of you. We started the baseball season right under 200. So everyone hopping on and hitting the subscribe button for us. Keep helping us out. Let's get over 1,000 before the end of the year and keep growing the channel. So thanks, everyone. Thanks for hanging out, everyone that's in YouTube. And we'll be back tomorrow. Have a fantastic Thursday. We'll see you again on Friday.